This is the third annual Copyright and Technology Conference. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Actually, it is an extension of a conference that I chaired for late lamented Jupiter Media, which originally it was called Digital Rights Strategies, and it dates back to 2004, and was discontinued in 2007. And then when Jupiter Media went out of business, I picked it up on my own and developed the conference as an adjunct to the Copyright and Technology blog 3 years ago.
Right. How would you briefly describe the conference and what people can get out of it?
Sure. Well, there are a number of conferences that deal with copyright. And what we try to do is to mix together the legal aspect of it, since obviously it's a legal thing, with the technology that affects copyright. And so originally this started out as a conference specifically about rights technologies such as DRM and then watermarking, fingerprinting, things like that. And then what I decided to do was to incorporate on equal footing the technology with the law aspect. So what you get is you get a morning session which has plenary panels and keynote talk and so forth, which are designed to appeal to both technical and legal audiences. And then in the afternoon, there are two tracks. There's a technical track and a legal track. And we encourage people to sort of mix and match. And we have technical speakers on the legal panels and vice versa. My view, you know, I am a technologist and I've been and I'm a consultant and I'm heavily involved in the rights technology field. And you know, my view is that there's a let's call it a lack of communication or understanding between the techies and the lawyers, and that's a two-way. It's not a one-way thing. It's a two-way thing, and so the conference is really an opportunity for mutual understanding about digital copyright among the legal and technical as well as the business sides.
Right. And who other than those presenting and at the panels, who attends this conference?
It's a really wide variety of people. We get media industry executives, we get attorneys, we get legal scholars, we get public policy people. We get, you know, a few of them will come from Washington and even occasionally from overseas. We will get telco executives. We will get people from startups who are involved in digital content in one sort or another. We will get educators, teachers who are looking at this issue. So it's really a wide variety of people.
You know, my blog is very much sort of consumer, general public focused. You know, I try to write about things or observe things that'll get people sort of focused on these issues who are not normally predisposed to do so because it's not their profession, it's not part of their, you know, and that's perfectly reasonable. However, part of the reason I do that is because as complex and sort of high level as some of these topics are, the reality is that some of the, shall we say, misunderstanding is certainly fought in the public sphere. You know, there's a lot of PR and churn out there. Is there? So none of that is a question, but my question would be, you know, what if anything, would you encourage the sort of general public, since everybody has a vested interest in, you know, in the internet and even in media, you know, why the general public might be interested in this?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that point up because in previous years, the conference has really been sort of an inside baseball thing where we get, you know, for example, our last keynote speaker in New York, we also do a show in London, was an executive from Microsoft. And before that, the guy was the chief intellectual property strategist for Microsoft. So it's not like, you know, Steve Ballmer or Steve Sinofsky, who just resigned. You know, he's not obviously a high profile executive, but someone who would definitely be known to the insider crowd on these issues. And we also had someone from Viacom, who's also, you know, a government affairs guy from Viacom, who clearly is an insider. This year, we're actually looking to expand to a more general audience by virtue of the keynote speakers. And so we have Rob Levine as our morning keynote, who wrote a terrific book published by Random House called Free Ride. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of this book, and I approached him and got him to come and speak. And in fact, if you register for the conference, if you register, you will get a copy of his book, which he will then sign for you if you want him to do that.
Right.
That's part of the arrangement that we have with him, and you know, it was my idea. You know, we're very happy to do that. And so Rob's book is, if people are not familiar with it, Rob is a journalist by trade and by inclination. And what he's done is he's taken a look at the sort of narrative of how technological innovation is affecting the copyright space. And the narrative has been very much dominated by companies like Google and Facebook and so forth. They've kind of gotten to tell the story their way. And there is another side of the story that hasn't really been told or hasn't been told very well or very effectively. And through a journalistic bent, Rob's book tells the other, what I call the other side of the story, and talks about how, you know, the big media companies are accused of being businesses and acting like businesses, whereas companies like Google themselves as the shining, you know, saviors of freedom and so forth and so on. As the truth of the matter is, they're also big businesses, and you know, they have shareholders, and they behave like big businesses just as much as a movie studio or a major record label will. And it's not a value judgment; it's just a factual thing.
Correct.
So we have Rob talking about that, and he's a wonderful speaker. He's acidly funny. I've seen him talk. He's awesome as a speaker. And then in the afternoon keynote slot, actually during lunch, we have a guy named David Lowery, who may be familiar to readers of your blog. David is a musician, mostly known for being in the bands Campervan, Beethoven, and Cracker. Mm-hmm. He's an indie record label. He runs a recording studio. He's also he teaches at the University of Georgia. And he has been a very passionate advocate for what he calls artists' rights.
Correct.
And so, you know, the whole thing has been portrayed once again. The narrative is sort of big tech versus big media. So it's Google, Facebook, et cetera, versus, you know, Disney, MPAA, RIAA. Right. What's really been forgotten in a lot of this public dialogue that's been taking place is the people who actually create content and try to make a living doing so. And, you know, David, you're a film person, and so you're one of those people. I don't write for a living, but I come from a family of people who have been musicians and actors and so forth. And so I think this is a very important point of view. And so we're going to have David not only representing this point of view, but also being on a panel where he will kind of, well, the panel will explain how the artists' point of view differs from the big media point of view. There's obviously some commonality, but there are also differences. And so that should be very interesting as well. David is I saw him yesterday, a senator, Senator Wyden, was speaking at a conference in Washington. And David was in the audience, and David was merciless in speaking up to a United States senator. He wasn't polite at all.
No, I saw a good portion of that live streaming yesterday as well.
David is very dynamic and very passionate. So we think that this year we've made more of an attempt to appeal to a broader audience and not just the sort of inside baseball crowd.
Right. Well, and one thing, I mean, you sort of went where I was going to go, which is, I think one thing that is absolutely critical in furthering this conversation and getting, as you described, that other side of the story, the side that Rob Levine has tried to tell and that David Lowery is certainly very passionate about, is that it's absolutely essential to reach the next generation of independent artists, you know, because those are the, you know, the, and those are the people who, who this is about to a great extent. It's all too easy to for everybody to lump it under the table of, oh, well, this is just Warner Brothers and Fox Studios and the MPAA. Not to be too film-centric about it. But you know, and I think one of the challenges is that, you know, the younger independent artist who's just kind of getting started, you know, isn't really quite seeing any of the pitfalls yet, or they're seeing, you know, nothing but blue skies, as it were.
Well, being fed a story about blue skies, which I think is suspect, quite frankly. Yes, there's no question the internet does a lot for independent artists, but it, you know, the hand that, you know, one hand giveth, the other hand taketh away. It's really much, very much a two-edged sword, and independent artists, whether they're filmmakers, musicians, authors, etc., really do need to become more aware of these issues. In fact, at the Future of Music event yesterday in Washington, which attracts a lot of indie musicians, I was pretty dismayed, to be honest, about the level of understanding that indie musicians had about what's going on. For example, there was a lot of talk about the internet radio service Pandora.
Correct.
And the legislation that they're pushing for to lower their royalty rates. And I was talking to one indie musician who didn't think that Pandora paid any royalties to musicians, which is not true. Of course, they absolutely, under law, they pay royalties.
Correct.
But it's an example of the misunderstanding that some people have. And, you know, this is not to accuse anyone of anything. These are musicians. Their job is to make music, not to be lawyers or to wade through lots and lots of rules and regulations and
right.
legislation. It is very complex. It's a mess. But, you know, that's all the more reason why you need to make some effort to try and understand what's going on.
So my question is, you know, this particular conference, it's still fairly high level. It's also a little bit pricey. Is there something, you know, for let's say independents who can't attend this, whether they're in another city or state, or it's just out of their you know, reach? Is there anything after the fact that, you know, anything that comes out of this that can be made available to, say, the young independent artist?
Yeah. Well, first of all, if anyone is an indie artist and wants to come as my guest, have them contact me and I can take care of it. Second of all, we don't have the facility to live stream the way Future Music does, but we are putting presentations up online. If you go to copyrightandtechnology.com and you click on the NYC 2012 conference tab, you'll see the agenda for the conference. And after the conference takes place, you will see presentations there. And we, depending on clearances and so forth, we may also put some video clips, some edited video clips up there. The video clips will be hosted and the slides will be hosted externally. The slides will go up on SlideShare. I'm not sure who Gordon is using for video right now, but it'll be, you know, Vidler or one of those sites. And so there will be stuff up there for people to look at.
That's great. That's fantastic. Cause I think, like I say, I think getting this kind of information out in a broader way is essential.
I want to repeat that if there are any, you know, artist types who want to come to the conference, as my guest, my email address is billr@giantstepsmts.com, and they should just send me an email.
Right. One thing that occurs to me that I think is absolutely essential, David Lowery laying into Ron Wyden, notwithstanding, is that so much of this stuff does get fought out in cyberspace, which is not, shall we say, the most conducive to decorum, to put it mildly. And I do think that people meeting face to face makes a big difference.
Well, you know, I completely agree with that. One other interesting speaker that we're going to have is an academic named Bill Herman, who wrote a very, very interesting PhD thesis at the Annenberg School at the University of Pennsylvania, which is going to be a book, which will be published early next year. And the thesis was about how different forms of communication inform legislation about digital rights. And by different forms of communication, he's talking about internet communication like blogs and websites and so forth versus mainstream media such as articles in the New York Times or what have you versus lobbying Congress and how that landscape has changed over the years. And what he did in this thesis, which was amazing, was he presaged the defeat of SOPA and PIPA before it happened. He kind of said, this is the way it's going. This is the kind of thing that's going to happen. And without knowing about SOPA and PIPA, because he wrote this before those bills came up, he presaged what happened there. And yeah, there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of ugliness. There's a lot of, less than civilized discourse. I will say, and I'm quite proud of this, that a noted technology writer called my blog one of the by adults for adults blog. I was very proud of that. There are other blogs that'll remain nameless because I don't want to give them traffic that are not none of the above. They're not by adults and they're not for adults. And this is exactly the kind of discourse that we do have at the conference each year.
Well, I look forward to it, to attending myself.
Awesome.
And I thank you for taking the time to tell me about it.
For giving me a forum. Would certainly once again like to extend to your readers an invitation to come. And if you're an artist and the registration fee is a problem, BillR@GiantStepsMTS.com, and I will fix that.
That's very good. That's very nice of you.
I should also say the date of the conference. It's December 5th, which is a Wednesday, at a venue called Manhattan Penthouse, which is in Greenwich Village here in New York.
Terrific. Thank you again, Bill.
Thank you.